After last week's mass shooting at a community college in Southern Oregon, the president and the candidates hoping to succeed him are talking about guns. Yesterday, Democrat Hillary Clinton called for expanded background checks. And this morning, Republican Marco Rubio told Matt Lauer on NBC's Today Show that gun control would have done nothing to prevent the massacre.
We need to start examining why it is that people are taking violent action, not what they're using to commit the violent act with. And we have two issues in this country. One is mental illness, which we need to begin to address more seriously, as opposed to stigmatizing it or in some cases trying to put it aside. And that's a societal thing that we need to confront as a society and a country. And the other, of course, is why have we become so violent?
For some perspective on this debate, we go far from the U.S. to Australia. A mass shooting there almost 20 years ago prompted that country to change its gun laws, and it hasn't had a mass shooting since. Tim Fischer was deputy prime minister at the time. We spoke with him last year, and I asked him about the turning point in Australia back in 1996 during what's called the Port Arthur Massacre.
The Sunday afternoon, it was a tourist picnic area and cafeteria and museum. And suddenly this young person picked up a weapon with multi-firing capability and slaughtered some 35 people. And it was the catalyst for John Howard, our Prime Minister at the time, and I was his Deputy Prime Minister, to take it to the state governments that we now needed to harmonise gun laws, to step away from the pathway advocated by the NRA of laissez-faire, and to have a sensible set of gun controls without taking away the right for people to have recreational shooting, sporting shooting, Olympic shooting, along with farmers and ranchers having their requirements as well.
And for comparison, by the way, 35 killed at Port Arthur. There were 32 killed at Virginia Tech in 2007, 27 in Newtown, Connecticut. That includes the gunman back in 2012, and 13 killed at Columbine. So there must have just been absolute national shock at 35 killed.
Yes, it was. But nevertheless, it was a very difficult issue to prosecute in the public square. There was bitter opposition. I was hung in effigy at a public meeting at a place called Gympie in Queensland. It was a pretty ugly scene, a very wild meeting, noisy meeting, but ultimately a meeting that was swung by a 12-year-old teenage student standing up and arguing the case for common sense and arguing that it wasn't taking away everybody's guns, but was providing a new template of gun safety, a new template where essentially the suburbs were being drained of the semi-automatics and automatics. And we've turned a corner. There has not been one gun massacre in Australia since 1996. That does not mean that there may not be in the future, but it will come after a couple of thousand people's lives have been saved. Various people estimate around 200 lives a year annually as a direct consequence of the firearms legislation here in Australia.
Well, tell us exactly what you did, and let's start with the semi-automatic restrictions. What are they exactly?
It essentially took out the certain size shotguns. It took out the semi-automatics and automatics from being legally available to people, sporting rifles and other 22s and even more bolt action type were permissible on farm, were permissible in sporting shooters and recreational shooting clubs and hunting and the like. And there is no numerical restriction on the number of rifles. But on top of that, you were required to have a shooter's license issued by each state government after you've done a preliminary test. And that's obviously held against a harmonised set of registers across Australia. And that, I understand, is what is feared most in some ways, is having both a shooter's licence scheme and a weapons registration scheme, the two big asks here in Australia. They were legislated for within the 12 months following the massacre at Port Arthur, adopted along with a gun buyback scheme. And the result is plain to see and cannot be denied by the NRA.
Well, and tell us about that gun buyback, because we've had gun buybacks in the United States, but this was a mandatory national gun buyback.
Involving about $500 million, involving a added levy. It greatly reduced accidental deaths by guns and homicide deaths and suicide deaths.
But there must have been people in Australia who did not sell back their guns, people that maybe shouldn't have even had their guns in the first place, whether they be criminals or whatever.
no legislation can be adopted without someone breaking the law, and some have been apprehended in breaking the law. But it made a difference in two ways. It did take out the semi-automatics, the oversized, overpowered weapons from the suburbs of Australia. It also caused people to think, well, do I really need a gun? If I do, I'll apply and get it. But if I don't really need it, I won't go down that pathway. And so we really did walk away from a policy of more and more guns. And we did so perhaps recalling some of the comments that many have made, including Wendy Whitmire from the gun control group Mums Demand Action in the USA. If more guns made us safer, the US would be the safest nation in the world. You are not. You are 10 to 15 times more likely to be shot dead in the USA per capita than Australia. And by the way, you are even safer in Italy than the USA with regard to guns when looked at like for like on a per capita basis.
We're speaking with Tim Fischer, former Deputy Prime Minister of Australia. Tim Fischer, one of the things you did was add a 28-day waiting period for people who wanted to buy guns. Tell us about that.
It was a cooling-off period. It was the complete opposite of having no background checks at gun shows. And if the US was to do anything, surely it should reinstate that and stand up to the NRA, which risks being completely put offside with its own supporters and the community at large the next time a massive gun massacre occurs. You've got to face down such bad anomalies as there being no background check whatsoever for anyone who wants to rock up to a gun show. It just builds and builds and builds the number of guns around, and it has led indeed to people carrying guns still being killed in shootouts.
But I can hear a gun control advocate listening to this and saying, well, it's easier said than done. In this country, there's such opposition to that. There's a strong feeling by gun owners and even non-gun owners that people should have a right to bear arms in this country and that anything that infringes on that is against the Constitution. How did you manage to overcome that hurdle in Australia to the extent that the same feelings exist there?
Jeremy, that's a good question, and we took the debate to the public square. We stood up at meeting after meeting, John Howard, Prime Minister, myself as Deputy Prime Minister and leader of a party with particular membership from country areas and members and senators from country areas, including many from Queensland, went to meeting after meeting. And that's the only way you'll turn the tide. That and sadly, a massacre that goes beyond the pale, a massacre that hits up towards 100 dead. No intelligent person can justify allowing no check whatsoever for people to buy guns in the 21st century.
But were you worried for your own political future by getting up and standing up in those town meetings and saying what you did?
Yes, it was tough. And we had a swing against the government at the subsequent elections for a couple of reasons, of which guns was probably not one of those reasons, all things considered. But yes, I was bitterly attacked. I was directly attacked. I was hung in effigy. Some said, look, you're a Vietnam veteran, Tim Fischer. You're a rancher or farmer background. You, above all, should be defending our rights to unrestricted size of weapons, number of weapons, and a laissez-faire approach on guns. I am a Vietnam veteran. I weighed the pros and cons and supported John Howard and the harmonised legislation because I could see this was Australia's chance to jump through the hoops, take some pain, withdraw private property from individuals, but pay them just compensation. The result is there for everyone to see. On any calculation, at least 10 times, and on some calculations, up to 15 times safer than the streets of the USA and places like Duncan, Oklahoma, where a young Australian jogging along peacefully was cut down and slaughtered by guns in the USA not so long ago.
And we should remind people, by the way, that you are a gun owner even to this day.
Yes, I am, happily, and use a gun on the farm and not so much for recreational reasons, but for essential reasons, with livestock needing to be put down and rabbit and fox control. And so be it. I am a happy owner of guns, a rancher down under, a Vietnam veteran, but one that fully supports the harmonised laws that have made a huge difference here in Australia, made Australia so much safer than the USA, who's still has this incredible circumstance where you can have no background checks applied to a person buying a gun, almost any kind of gun, at a gun show in the USA.
Tim Fisher is a former member of the Australian Parliament, former Deputy Prime Minister of Australia, speaking to us via Skype from his ranch in Australia. Tim Fisher, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you indeed.